Hi everyone, welcome to Training with Casey, where we explore animal training and living our best lives with animals. I'm Joseph Laughlin, producer of this podcast, and now, here's your host, Casey Covert. Let's get started.
Hey, thank you, Joseph. Good evening, everybody, and thank you for joining us. It's Casey Covert, and I'm the host of Training with Casey, and tonight I have two special guests. They're my friend and colleague Denny Samard, and my partner in training, David Garski. And remember how we did a podcast recently about perceptual confusion? And that was a pretty popular podcast. Well, who would know, but we actually have a case that we're following that has that problem right now. Our horse Affair is co-owned by all of us, and we all, you know, contribute for our care and our training. We talk together and so forth. And to refresh your memory, about 2 months ago, Affair had some kind of a head injury. It was an injury like, let's say you ran into a branch or you ran into a post, and she had a big gouge in her forehead, but it didn't seem serious. You know, it was dramatic. There had been some blood, but it didn't seem serious. And it healed very quickly and very cleanly. But right about that time, we realized that she was functionally blind. Well, I can understand why that would upset her, right? We tried to alleviate things as well as we could by teaching Affair all of the directions, which she, it turns out she already knew. But we also taught her distances, steps, so that we could tell her 5 steps till you get to the water trough. Now, her vision was such that she would get right to the water trough, put her head down on the ground, be right next to it. And then if she would accidentally bump into it, she would act like, you know, she'd been like startled. She had no idea it was there. And Dave is her main trainer these days. And he was very dedicated about explaining to her where she was and what she was going to get, if she was about to get in trouble by running into it. And it really seemed to help her, because on numerous times when I mentioned that maybe she could go to the water, she just whipped her head around to look for the water, and she got visibly interested. And then Dave would take her over and he would let her relax and get water without any interference from the other horses that she lives with. Okay, so that was the initial problem. Well, soon after that, they had a microburst, which took down a bunch of trees and crashed down the fences. The mares got out. One of the geldings died when he crashed into a building. It was really dramatic and intense. And afterwards, people were all stressed about the horses and were they going to get out through the gate, et cetera, et cetera. So everybody pulled everything together, but there was still that really intense experience associated with this burst of weather. So just to be clear, microcell is where you have a little, you know, like a cubicle of wild weather that's traveling some distance, and everything else could be fine all around it. But wherever that microcell hits, there can be real devastation. And in this case, it took down about 8 or 10 trees. Okay, so there was that. And then there was the sound of the saw of the man cutting up all the branches from that. Then there was a wedding next door, and they had really loud music and all the calls and, you know, laughing and clanking and all that. She was upset by that. Then we had the hurricane go through, and it had 2 sides. So it was upsetting when the first side went through, and then it was calm for a couple of days. And then there was another side. There were other things. All told, it was a very stressful couple of months. Meanwhile, Affair started getting really upset by things. She, oh, there's another thing. They switched the horses in the fields. So a fair had been and had known this big field with no barriers, no gates or anything in it. And there was one water trough and it was in the same place all the time. And she had learned how to get there. And all of a sudden, now she's in a new field and it's comprised of three smaller pastures. And there's smaller gates that she has to go through to get between these pastures. And perhaps the real challenge for her was that there were swales cut into the back ends of the pastures. So if she walked from one area to another and she was close to the western fence, she probably wouldn't even notice there were swales there. But if she started to go a little bit, I'm sorry, if she was close to the eastern fence, but if she got close to the western fence, the swales got deeper the further west you went. So if she tried to get from where she was to the other horses, then all of a sudden the earth would start to crack, go down into a crevice, and she would get upset. And we would try to guide her using, information and also intermediate bridges to help her get around this stuff. But sometimes she would just panic. And it might take her an hour before she worked herself out of this. So all these different issues coming within 2 months. So I'll just refresh and remind you that we were taught by the pathologists at the National Zoo that an animal's blood gases don't return to normal after a highly stressful event for 30 days. And this is a whole series of stressful events. So we're worried about a fair on a number of counts. One, she had become difficult to manage. The people couldn't put the feed bag on her. They couldn't go see her. They couldn't take her out of the field. Two, they're worried about her. Horses that get that stress might panic and run into something. She might colic, and she might just get ill because high stress levels are often associated with illness. In addition, we couldn't do any work with her because she was so upset that even if we took her out just to let her graze, she could not graze. She would run around in little circles. And she was dangerous because she was frustrated and aroused. And she would whip around in such a way that she could end up stomping on you, kicking you, or as she did with me, hitting you in the head with her head. So we've got the issues of her health and safety or her husbandry. Her health and safety, our ability to work with her, whether or not she bothers the other horses. So there were lots of reasons to deal with this. And we tried everything. We did all the things that normally work. We went out and spent time with her. We tried to do body work. We did a name and explain. We did cycles for going in and out of her area. We stopped and gave her direction if we saw that she was starting to get upset. And it really did not improve. People were very worried about her. She was running around for an hour at a time. And when we got to see her, she'd be very sweaty in certain times. So, flash forward, what did we do? Well, first of all, her first, well, not her first owner, but her owner previous to us and her still her co-owner, but she doesn't see him very often. Denny Simard had come out to visit her. And I'm going to introduce Denny in a second here, and he can tell you more about all of that. But we felt that that would be a really helpful thing for a fair. She was really bonded with Denis, and he had intended to come back and visit her and maintain that bond. And then with coronavirus, it just wasn't a possibility. So that was one thing we hoped would make a big difference. Meanwhile, I was doing all this research and I checked with my vet, Dr. Kathy Lombardi at the Oaks, and we had, kicked around some ideas like even acepromazine, and she said, why not try some of these other things? And so she gave me several suggestions, and I did further research on the internet, and we found out that goldenrod was highly rated as a way to help horses to calm themselves. So we happened to have some on our property, and we went out and picked a bag and went over just in time to give Sarah and Affair some goldenrod for the first time. We didn't know if they would like it, even be willing to eat it. We didn't know if they'd be allergic. And so we go out there and gave them the goldenrod, and it turns out they love it. They really love it. Like, they would knock you over for the whole bag if they wouldn't get caught. And so we gave them each some goldenrod. And the next day when we went to see them, we noticed an improvement. Affair was just calmer. So we gave both horses goldenrod again. And the third day when we went over to meet Denise, who had just arrived, she was not just calmer, but she was able, well, actually, this was the second day, she was able to come out and graze, which she hadn't been able to do for over a month. And she was calm enough that she could walk up and down the farm lane, although we had to walk her quickly, like you couldn't just stand around and talk. So then Denis arrived, and he started going out and spending time with her. He gave her more goldenrod. It was a happy combination. And today, she was almost back to her normal self. So we're 5 days into the goldenrod now. So very encouraging results. If you don't know what goldenrod is, it's in the aster family. It's in the species solidago. And it's kind of like rays of little tiny bright golden flowers. Do not get anything with little single round flowers until you really look it up, because there's something called rayless goldenrod, and you do not want to feed that to a horse. So you need the solidago. It grows all over America, and right now is the time that it is blooming and easily available, and you can dry it to use later. So let me turn it over to Denise and Dave to take us through, what you experienced seeing her, Denise, and what you guys did, what you feel helped, made a difference. Oh, I didn't introduce you really, did I? Okay. So Denise, I'm really practiced at this, guys. Okay. I get by with help from my friends. So Denise is a horse trainer and an equestrian, and he has ridden eventing and steeplechase, right?
I did steeplechase once.
Oh, once, okay. And never again. Polo and dressage. And he had Affair competing at fourth level dressage before I knew her very well. And she was doing really, really well. She's got a whole history before that. All of the horses that Denise has, well, not all of them, but most of them have not been easy horses, but they have done beautifully. And so when Denise had to retire to Hawaii, we agreed that this might be a great place for her to come, and then he could come back and see her. We could collaborate. And Denise is one of our first certified SATS trainers. And do you want to tell them the story of that? Or?
Hey fans, are you enjoying Training with Casey? Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts from. Also, don't forget to subscribe to Casey Covert on YouTube. That is youtube.com/C/Casey Covert. Also, give the podcast a like, share, and comment. Thanks for joining us. Come back for more news and views on animal training and living with animals. Stay at the top of the pack with Casey. This is Joseph Laughlin, producer of Training with Casey. See you next time.